This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Farmer trade cow manure for goat poop. It was a dung deal.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Your show was better when you had medical questions. Hey!
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Tacy.
Hi, everyone.
Yay, she's back, yay. Everyone. We'll talk about that in a second. This is a show for people who never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POO-HEAD. Tacy won't say that.
Nope.
Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very good.
Or whatever.
Or whatever. Well, whatever then. Well, we hear that a lot. So don't forget stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon shopping needs or online shopping needs. And that website actually has some information on it regarding materials that we've discussed on this show, including the roadie, the teeter back stretcher, and other things like that, and neuropathy supplements, etc. So check out stuff.drsteve.com. And if you want to lose weight, go to Noom, noom.drsteve.com. I've been doing Noom for quite some time. It's a psychology program, not a diet. So check it out at noom.drsteve.com. You can, I attain my ideal body weight, but my results may vary from yours, but I found it to be very effective. If you want to check it out, you get a 2-week free trial with the counselor and everything at noom.drsteve.com. If you want to do it, you get a 20% discount, and it's only a 3-month program. It's not like that other program that rhymes with, I don't know, flate flotchers. It's not an ongoing commitment at all. It's a 3-month program, and you can be done with it at that point. If you continue, it's up to you. And simplyherbals.net is Dr. Scott's website. So welcome back. So we're doing something a little different. During COVID, much of the content on the Sirius XM show and the podcast were the same, mainly because I didn't want to answer a COVID-related question for one audience and not for the other, because I thought they were reasonably important. But now that that's calming the F down...
Thank God.
I know, really. Jeez.
Thank God.
I thought we could maybe go back to what we were doing before. So, and if we do it this way, Tacy can join us again because she's on the road during the week now, which sucks.
Well, I don't know that we're going to say that I'm going to be doing this a lot.
No?
No.
Because if we do this, then we can't, you know, do the other thing that we do on Saturdays.
What, worry about our son driving?
or that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, our 16-year-old has a girlfriend in another state. I mean, we're on the state line, sort of, but I mean, he's driving to another state for the first time today. And it was a bit of a traumatic thing, particularly for the old Tastemeister. So.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So
she's going to be a little distracted, and this might be fun or it might be horrible.
It
so
could
we'll
be horrible. And we will answer any phone call that we receive.
Yeah. Now, we are actually on vacation as we do this, so these are going to be brief. But still same number of ads, though. Yay.
Of course. Yay.
All right, so probably ought to just get straight into it.
Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, very good. Thank you, Renny B.
Hey, Dr. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, man.
It's Josh from Jersey.
Hey, Josh, how you
doing?
What's
up, Dr. Scott? Give me some damn nose spray! Ah!
Well.
Sorry, couldn't help it. Question for you. My wife's expecting. Had the shot. She already had the vaccine. She's good to go.
Yep.
What's going to happen later? I mean, does the baby eventually, you know, because now it's going to be in her system into the baby's system?
Yep.
Or, like, you know, stupid shit. Like, you know, I didn't have a chicken pox shot. My kids had the chicken pox shot. I've had the chicken pox. I know. So, but literally, the baby's in her system with the shot. So.
Yeah, okay. I know where
That's
he's going
with
this.
That's a great question.
It is a really good question. So when you give a pregnant mother a vaccine, particularly this one, her body makes the immune response. And she can pass those antibodies through the placenta. And so the kid will have passive immunity. But it's unlikely that the kid will have any active immunity. For example, Tacy had RSV when Beck was born. Now, he's our youngest. She just thought it was a cold. Turns out it was respiratory syncytial virus. 5 days into his life on this earth, outside of her womb, he has a fever of 105. We brought him to the emergency. Well, we called the pediatrician. And they admitted him emergently, tested him. He had respiratory syncytial virus. And the nurses up there in that unit were like, you know, this is really serious. He may have long-lasting damage. Not even 100% sure he'll make it. We may have to go to the ICU. But the thing was, Tacy was breastfeeding. So her body was making antibodies. And she was secreting IgA antibodies. We don't hear about those so much. We hear about IgM and IgG, but she was secreting IgA antibodies in her breast milk, which she was then turning around and feeding Beck. And he just sailed right through it. He was sick for a day in the hospital with all these tubes and stuff because they were all terrified. And then the next thing we knew, he was better and we went home. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And he was born 10 days before Christmas, so it made for an interesting Christmas, because that would have been the 20th that we took him in, and we got home, what, on the 23rd?
It was Christmas Eve.
Was it Christmas Eve we got home?
Yeah.
Yay. It was delightful. So, and Tacy's still feeding on demand, so no sleep, in the hospital, sucked, but she saved his life. Of course, she gave it to him, but it's like, I guess, what would that be like, giving somebody poison and then giving them the antidote?
I kept asking people for medicine, and they said it might hurt the baby.
Well, it would have, because it's a virus. I mean, you would have been exposing it to
something. I was sick as shit.
Yeah, we don't have a treatment for respiratory syncytial virus. I think after this COVID BS, we need to declare war on all viruses, and that's one of them. Because, you know, babies that get that or young kids that get it can have some serious problems down the road. Most of them do fine. It just causes croup when they get a little older. But, why do we have to have these viruses in our life?
I don't know.
Yeah, they suck. I hate them. So, war on all viruses. Tacy saved saved the kid. So this kid will likely have passive immunity to COVID-19, but it will decline as those antibodies degrade, and they will have to be re-exposed to the antigen to develop their own immunity to it. All right?
All right.
Okey-doke.
Hey, Dr. Steve, what's up? How are you? Hey, got a question. It's about vaccines, but not COVID. I was watching a video on the COVID vaccine, and it mentioned that I think the vaccine for tuberculosis or tetanus, is like a different type of vaccine than any other one. It's like a toxin vaccine or something like that.
Don't get
into it or explain it, and I couldn't really find anything on it. So I was just wondering if you could explain how that works.
I was trying to give you one.
Give yourself a bill.
Thank you. Bye.
It is a toxin vaccine. So a lot of the vaccines that we give, generate immunity against the entity that's invading our body. So COVID-19 vaccine, the mRNA vaccines create a spike protein in our cells that then we then recognize as foreign, make antibodies against that spike protein so that when we see the virus itself, will block the virus's ability to attach to the receptor that it likes, which is the ACE2 receptor, particularly in the lungs and the respiratory tract. And that it will prevent it from implanting. And if you prevent it from being able to attach, then you prevent it from being able to reproduce. And then that's the end of it. So that really targets the virus itself. Tetanus is caused by a toxin caused by a spore-forming bacterium called Clostridium tetani. And if you're not familiar with tetanus, it's because we don't see it anymore. And the reason we don't see it anymore, why, Tase?
I don't know. My microphone just broke. I can't hear you anymore.
You can't hear me anymore.
No.
You're right across the table.
I can hear. Okay, so I don't know why.
Did you fix it? Well, just take the headphones off then. How's that? Okay. So
this is a great show, by the way.
Why is there no tetanus? Why don't people know tetanus?
I don't know, Steve.
Yes, you do, because we vaccinate against it.
Oh.
Can you hear that?
I can hear that, yes.
Okay. So, because we vaccinate against it pretty universally. And I've seen one case in my career, and it was a person who was never vaccinated for tetanus.
And you're supposed to get the shot, what, every 7 years?
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Or if you get poked with something.
A dirty
correct?
Wound. And yeah. There's a protocol for it. The emergency room where you go, if you... fall on, let's say, a hoe that is covered with cow fecal matter and you cut a big gash in your hand, you're going to be looked at as a candidate for a tetanus booster.
Okay.
Now,
is there something else in the tetanus shot or is it just the tetanus shot?
Well, there can be. They have tetanus shots and diphtheria, you know, tetanus with diphtheria.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And then there's tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. Acellular pertussis. So there's several of them. So the tetanus vaccine is actually against the toxin that Clostridium tetani secretes. So when that bacterium invades through, say, a cut, it'll produce a toxin not too similar. I mean, it's the mechanism is similar of the invasion, but the toxin itself is distinct from botulism. But they're both toxin-forming problems. And so the bacterium secretes this toxin. The toxin causes tetanus, which just means irreversible contraction of the muscles.
Okay.
So that's why it's called lockjaw, because when it locks your jaw, you do like that. You can't open your jaw because the masseter muscles are all that control the jaw are clenched. And the person that I saw we gave them intravenous immunoglobulin from someone that had had tetanus vaccine, and they had antibodies against the toxin, and they got better. So, but that's one case I've seen. That was probably 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And not seen one since. And there's, to my knowledge, there's never been a case of anyone getting tetanus once they have had the full pediatric series as kids. Diphtheria is another one. Who's ever seen diphtheria? I've never seen a case of diphtheria. I know how to recognize it if I see it. And it causes a pseudomembrane in the back of the throat that's just white and it's, you know, exudate. It just causes such severe inflammation in the airway. But I've never seen a case of it because of the diphtheria vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
How about rabies? I've seen maybe one case of rabies in an animal, but never in a human. Not once. Why? Because we vaccinate our animals, our pets. In other countries where they don't do that, we have a friend who comes from a part of a country where they don't vaccinate their animals, and to her, dogs are monsters that can kill you with a single bite.
Mm-hmm.
And she's terrified of them. When I was a kid, I'm a lot older than you are, so you wouldn't remember this. They used to have PSAs on the television about rabies and what would happen to you. And I remember this guy walking down the stairs, and then he starts foaming at the mouth, and he falls down, and the screen is flashing. It was that kind of grimy black and white, because back in this before color TV. Scared the shit out of me. I'm still have nightmares about that ad that they ran about rabies. And I was terrified of, you know, a stray dog or anything like that, because they might be rabid. That was what they were trying to say, because this was pre-rabies vaccine. And you've seen Night of the Living Dead, the original George Romero, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was that same black and white and gray. You know what I'm talking about? How mm-hmm. creepy that is?
Yeah. You know, and I'm disappointed in the South for our falling behind on getting the COVID vaccination. And, you know, I have people in my family who, it's not even real.
Really? Now, your mother's not like that.
No,
she had
my mother's not like that.
I wonder if she would be if she hadn't gotten
it. Think real hard on who would be like that.
Well, okay. There's only a few people in your family that I can imagine. I just didn't realize you'd been talking to them.
I haven't been talking to them. I just know.
Okay. Let me see. Vaccine rates by U.S., what we say?
The South has fallen behind, according to the Today Show.
Oh, well, the Today Show just,
you know.
And the thing is they're trying to justify their BS, what they did in New York with these lockdowns that were no more successful or less successful than what was done in Florida that was wide open the whole damn time. Okay, so at least one dose in Florida, 53%. Okay, Tennessee, 41.2%. And let's look in New York. New Jersey, 62%. New York, 59%. So, we're a little behind now. Alabama, at least one dose, 35%.
Yeah.
And Louisiana, 37%. Okay, so, but it's not just there. Wyoming's 38%. Idaho, not a southern state, 39%. So let's look. This is impromptu, by the way. Let's go to covid.stoutlabs.com, okay? And we will look at those states and compare them. So let's find the highest state. It looks like Washington, at least one dose, 60%. Vermont, 73%. So let's do Vermont. Okay, that's the highest I could find on this quick sort of survey. So Vermont, 73.4%. Now, Vermont is a not very populous state, but they do have some areas that are very populous. Okay, there are pockets of them, but for the most part, not so much. So we're going to do Vermont. And you can do this along with us. Just go to covid.stoutlabs.com. We'll do Vermont and... what were the states, Tace?
Oh,
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay. Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Yes.
Okay. So Alabama, we'll just do them against Vermont. Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
That shot kills people.
Yeah. The virus doesn't do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's not real.
So let's do new cases. And isn't that interesting? They're all almost exactly the same. Mississippi, 0. Alabama, 0. Louisiana, 0. Vermont, 9. Oops.
So are they right?
No. I mean, everybody's right. This is the thing I like about this country is that we have 50 little experiments that you can run in how to do things. So Florida can do their way, and New York can do their way. And then the other states can look and say, well, these are the two sort of extremes. New York was totally locked down. Florida was, I mean, we saw it. We were there. Yeah, you had to wear a mask if you went into Walgreens. That was about it.
That was it. I mean, you could tell the people who were showing up because they had their mask on. And then
as soon as they got there, they're like, F this.
Yeah, and they took them off.
Yeah, let's see.
Pretty fun.
New deaths. Yeah, basically all the same. All the same. And these curves are not, I'm not impressed by any of this. Now, Alabama, there's got a few spikes here and there compared to the other ones, but that's it. And that some of this could be reporting as well. And then the other states can go, look, do we want to be more like New York or do we want to be more like Florida? They have the right to make those decisions themselves. And I think that's what one of the strengths of this place. You know, you don't just have two or three districts in your country like some of the European countries do. We have 50 distinct states, and they can literally do whatever the hell they want to do within certain limits. And hell, some of them are even legalizing marijuana, just told the federal government to go F themselves.
Yeah.
Marijuana is still illegal as far as the feds are concerned. It is a Schedule I drug. But you can go to Virginia now and get medical marijuana. I'm actually I have the certificate so that I can certify people for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, given that I grew up in the 60s when, oh, don't let anybody know you have this nickel bag, man. You know, it's amazing that now I can write a certificate. People can just go buy it. And then you've got places like Colorado and other places where you just walk in, buy whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
So I like the 50 different little experiments, and we can all try different things, and we have. There's a huge difference, obviously, between what Florida and then you get those southern states, you know, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Georgia, and that are doing a completely their own thing, and then other places like Vermont and Washington. Now, I'm starting in the booster trial in 4 days, the 30th. This may be our last show because remember, there is that one concern about the COVID vaccine is that it could conceivably produce a thing called antibody-mediated immune enhancement. And that's where an antibody against one form of a virus can block the immune system from forming immunity against another form of the virus, and which causes a worse infection than you would have had if you hadn't had immunity to the first one. We see this with dengue fever. Dengue fever, people get dengue and then their immune system actually blocks the body's ability to respond to the second infection. So when they're exposed to it again, it's actually worse.
Do you have to do this before vacation?
What? Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah, I'll be fine.
Okay.
So, That's the concern. And by the way, again, I'm willing to step up. I am a little concerned about that. Not very much concerned because we should have seen it by now. Certainly to goodness that someone and probably millions and millions of people, we vaccinated 1 billion people now. would have been exposed to one of the other circulating coronaviruses by now. And if there was a problem, we would have seen it. We're not seeing it. So we're seeing no evidence of immune antibody mediated immune enhancement with this vaccine. Nothing. We're not seeing, not even the smallest signal of it yet. So I'm not that concerned, but that is my one concern, that it could affect me a lot worse having being exposed this next time. But we'll see. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to be on the forefront of that so that I can report back to you guys, hey, yeah, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
Just like Bill Murray in Caddyshack picking up the baby Ruth at the bottom of the pool and eating it and going, hey, it's no big deal. All right?
All right.
Okay. Very good. So tetanus vaccine, good. And I'm not even going to say all vaccines are good. We've discussed this on this show. I have an issue with the chickenpox vaccine. I'm not 100% sure that it's the smartest thing to do to vaccinate kids against a virus that, for the most part, only causes lack of productivity in those children for a short period of time. If you do not have lifelong immunity and you get it as an adult, it can be really serious. So do we have a bunch of kids running around who are only partially immune, and now as adults they're going to get it as adults? What about the women that get it when they're pregnant? I mean, that's basically fatal for the fetus.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, it can be.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think so. Let me see. Chicken pox in pregnancy. So I think we should be getting titers on these people. You know, it says here, chicken pox infection is caused by a virus called varicella zoster. Used to be a common infection. Isn't dangerous in children. People are at higher risk for complications from chickenpox, including pregnant people and newborns. So if you get chickenpox during the first 20 weeks of pregnancy, your baby may have an increased risk for congenital varicella syndrome. It's a rare group of serious birth defects that can cause scars, problems with arms, legs, brain, and eyes, gastrointestinal complications, and low birth weight. Okay, if you get chickenpox immediately before or right after birth, your baby may have an increased risk for serious infection called neonatal varicella. This infection can be life-threatening, but treatment is helping more babies survive. We do have medication for varicella now, so which we'd use the same thing for them as you do for shingles, which is valacyclovir.
Okay.
So it's a serious infection. It's not invariably fatal, obviously, but it's a serious infection. And I don't know if we know. You know, that's the thing that concerns me about this, is that we give this to these kids and then we just kind of go, oh, well, you're good. You know? And now, have I seen adult chickenpox? I have not. I've not seen this, you know, mysterious outbreak of adult chickenpox. So far, so good. But these kids are still pretty young.
And we would have seen that by now.
I would think so.
Yes, I think so.
Because our kids got chickenpox, right? If I remember correctly, they just had a real mild syndrome.
I think so.
And
or did they?
I think they did. And
then we had a big chickenpox party. I'm just kidding.
No. Yep, help them old viruses out. That's good for them.
All right. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, so Liam is 18, and he wasn't the first one to get chickenpox vaccine. So we'll look that up for next show, see if anybody else is concerned about that. All right. Next.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's Pete in Connecticut.
What up?
Yeah, good
bro?
To hear. So, my wife just sprung on me.
I guess we got to do that one over again. Let's see here. So, what's the haps as a Sam Roberts phrase?
Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Pete in Connecticut. What's the haps?
The haps are right on.
Yeah, good
blood.
To hear. So, my wife just sprung on me that she has scheduled herself for bariatric surgery.
Okay.
the gastric sleeve procedure. You know, we're both a little overweight. She's, you know, on the heavier side than I, and has tried for years with various things.
Dude, you better pray she doesn't hear this. I mean, can you imagine if I described you like that?
Yeah, it would be true, though.
Like Zoom and the other one, and other diets and other life changes. And it's just hard to put ourselves first with the massive brood of children we have and the usual.
I get it.
You know,
life. No, it's the hardest thing. I mean, you have to eat to live. And if you get to where you're sort of addicted to overeating, it is, I mean, you can't just stop that. If you're a drinker, with some help, you can stop drinking. You can't ever stop eating. And if you go to an AA meeting and you get some guy in there saying, well, I'm just going to social drink, they all just jump on him, you know, because it's so hard to do. Some people can get away with it, but very few. But you can't, it's really hard to just, quote unquote, social eat if you have a problem with eating. So gastric sleeve surgery is one of those things that they offer. It's also known as a sleeve gastrectomy, and they remove about 80% of the stomach, and that is permanent. And beside the risks that are inherent with any surgery, they people who have gastric sleeves can have things like nutritional deficiencies, indigestion, obviously sagging skin, which is fixable with plastic surgery, gallstones that can get some reflux and stuff like that. Now, there is a risk versus reward.
Addiction transfer.
Addiction
transfer is
number one thing.
Oh, we are
don't
going
take
to
advice
answer that.
From some asshole on the radio.
Yes, we are. We'll be right back, everybody. Okay, we're back, and that was Beck.
And he made it.
He made it.
He Yay. Made it. Absolutely terrifying.
I'm just thinking, when I was 17, I drove across the state to go see my friend from Western North Carolina to the Piedmont area in Middle North Carolina. And my mom, I would think that she was crapping herself, but I don't think my parents cared that much about me. They're like, yeah, okay, go have fun. Anyway, let's finish up with the gastric sleeve. The benefits are that you lose weight, and that improves your well-being in a lot of ways, including mental health, your self-image, but also decreases your risk of sudden death.
But what is the efficacy on that, like long-term? Because I see a lot of people get a gastric sleeve. They lose weight initially.
Yeah.
And then it seems to not work so well after that.
Well, the thing is that you have to participate in the aftercare program that the bariatric surgeon's going to have. And it's not just going to make you stop eating, because you can totally defeat it with milkshakes and stuff like that. So you got to commit to the program. Like any other weight loss program, but this does make it easier to do. So you got to discuss the risk, benefits, and alternatives with your provider, and also make sure that you talk to them about their complication rate, because there are complications from this, and this should absolutely be a last resort kind of thing. You've tried everything else, nothing else has worked, and you're at high risk for complications if you don't do something. Okay?
Okie dokie.
All right. Well, thanks always goes to Tacey. We can't forget Rob Sprance, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teff, That Gould Girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, The Port Charlotte Horror Taste.
Ooh.
The Saratoga Skank Taste.
Oh.
Roland Campos Taste. Sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Steve Tucci, the great Bob, Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's Daughter, Ron Bennington and Fez Watley, whose support of the show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM Channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week
for
the next edition.
Just sucked.
Of weird medicine. It wasn't that.
It's very freaked out.